With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We support our local team and our local brewery, Phantom Brewery, and they've decided to support us back and you guys by offering a 10% off code EPR10 when used on their website, phantombrew.com, will get you 10% off anything you order this season. That code again, EPR10.
Lafondra looking to get Colside of Font. Lafondra away from David. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Well, hello there. It seems like it's been a bloody age since I had to introduce one of these. But if you are tuned into this podcast, you're not just tuned into any old podcast. It's the Elm Park Royals preview podcast sponsored by Phantom Brewing Co. down in Reading. I nearly said Blue Collar because they sponsor us too, but they're the other one. But thank you to both of our sponsors. I'm in the mood for some Phantom Brew this afternoon because the sun is shining. The international break is almost over, and I'm delighted to be joined by James Earnshaw from the Reading Chronicle, fresh from the Paul Ince presser down at Bearwood today, James. That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, got back about 2 hours ago.
And do you feel enlightened by our glorious leader? Like, has the gaffer, what's the gaffer's mood like? Because if he's anything like us, it feels like it's been so long since Reading last played a game. And obviously, we went into the international break on a high, having beaten Wigan 1-0 away. And it was important to go into the break with a win, given that we'd had that really demoralising first home defeat against Sunderland. Mm. What's Paul Ince's mood like at the moment, James? Because you're better placed than anyone to tell us that.
Yeah, he seemed chirpy enough. I think the break came at a good time for him. You know, more chance to get the players back. They did have a couple of fixtures behind closed doors against Brentford, and then quite a few played in the 21s win on Monday. So they're all ticking over. Things are slowly getting back to normal. A lot of players are getting back on the training pitch, but again, you're still then looking a fortnight before you're sort of ready to play your first team action. But the main thing to take is that Andy Carroll's fit and firing, so he's ready to go. He played 75 minutes on Monday, so I'd like to think he should easily get an hour in the tank Saturday if needed. Mate is back and ready. Ajari is in full training, so it's now just picking and choosing when to throw him back in. Other than that, the rest will be 2-3 weeks. Naby Sarr's picked up another injury, so he's another 2 to 3 weeks before he starts training again. So you're pushing it really there for the international, for the World Cup break. Femi Aziz probably looking the same. This mystery illness that Shane Long's got seems to be taking forever. But yeah, you know, it's not as bad, or doesn't feel as bad as it was before the international break. Anyway, the problem is there's just so many fixtures. You could be out for 2 to 3 weeks and you're missing 6-7 games now, which is just ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a busy old schedule coming up. And in classic Reading fashion, I know you've already touched upon it, but usually you treat the 2 week break as an opportunity to get a few bodies fit. And, you know, when the squad is as stretched as Reading's is, it's really important to get them back. And in classic Reading fashion, that really hasn't transpired as well as it could have been. Because like you say, we're missing the likes of Naby Sarr, who's probably one of our best centre-backs. And we haven't seen much of him since he scored that winning goal on his debut. And Shane Long, I saw Ince mention that Shane Long had some occurrence of this mystery virus like back like a decade ago in 2012, but details are a bit scant on the ground regarding that. So if we are a defender down in the meantime with Naby Sarr out for 2 to 3 weeks, interestingly, there's been it's you, the man of many scoops, more scoops than Haagen-Dazs, actually conjured this one, threw this one up on the Twitter sphere. A familiar face for many Reading fans, old Michael Hector, who made, you know, a ton of appearances for us in his first spell with the club before getting sold to Chelsea. He's back training with Reading in the hopes of earning a contract and filling in another spot at centre-back, isn't he, James?
Yeah. So he's been in over the last couple of weeks. It felt different to Andy Carroll. Andy Carroll almost felt like, you know, they were desperate to get this one over the line. This one almost feels like it'd be nice if they can get him over the line, but they don't seem as sort of pressed on it. Obviously, it'd be great to get another centre half in with the injuries the way it is, but I don't feel the almost sort of panic. So for me, I'm just looking at it as if it happens, it's a nice position. I don't think we're desperate for it. I think there were other positions where we could have really done with strengthening ahead of centre half personally, but you know, if it happens, it'll be, you know, a nice homecoming. Hopefully some of the fans that sort of were a bit upset with him when he celebrated a bit overzealously in the 7-0 will hopefully have forgiven him. But yeah, I'm, you know, sort of nonplussed about this one too much. And if it happens, it's great. If it doesn't, you know, it's not the end of the world.
I'm the same. It's I'm sort of six of one and half a dozen of the other in regards to this transfer, because even though I think he is a quality player and I think he had an especially decent time at Fulham when, you know, pre-promotion, it's one of those where he was good, but in terms of identifying strong positions for Reading at the moment, I know the likes of Scott Dan are, you know, eternally corrupt and Liam Moore's out of contention for the time being. But other than that, provided, and it's a big if, that people can stay fit, we're pretty well stocked. And it's a sort of nice to have signing rather than an incentive. I saw one Reading fan on Twitter rather optimistically describe Michael Hector as the Championship's Virgil van Dijk. That's the levels of praise.
The Van Dijk that no one's picked up as we approach October and the window's been shut for over a month.
Well, indeed, I had no idea it was even a free signing, which shows how much I pay attention.
There must be something going on, because surely someone would have picked him up by now. I mean, he's won, what is it, two of the last three championships? At least he's been involved in squads that have gone up over the last few years. If he, you know, he's 30 now, it's... You know, I'm only 22.
That's amazing to think. It makes me feel old.
I remember him leaving and on the deadline day, what, 5-6 years ago now. But yeah, you know, I mean, the latest on Dan and Moore is that Moore might be back on the training pitch in November. But that's sort of on it, with the physio doing, you know, not joining in with the squad. And Scott Dan's out until after Christmas. So, yeah. I mean, I can see why they might want another one. But personally, I think once Naby Sarr's back, I think we've got more than enough, even if we do play at five, to fill in the gaps.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because, as well, like you say about the age that Hector is now, and I'm surprised he's not been snapped up, because when he left Reading the first time, I remember I was doing Bushwatch that day when he left. I think it might have been 2013. I think it was 2014.
Well, he was involved in the FA Cup semi-final.
Oh, so it's 2015. Yeah. All the years blur into one, James, honestly. But back then, obviously, he was very, very fresh, sort of in the young talent bracket. And now he's come back and he's training with a pedigree and, you know, having actually achieved promotions to his name. So if it comes off, great, happy as Larry. But equally, I've seen some people saying they'd rather that the final squad slot, because that's what it's going to be, it would be the final slot in our squad for the season. They'd rather that it went to an attacking player, because I think we're still crying out for someone like of a number 10 ilk,
who definitely
can provide a bit of a spark in the midfield. Because I don't know about you, but I think looking forward to the week against Huddersfield, obviously Tom Ince has provided such a source of inspiration for us in recent games and ended up scoring the winning free kick against Wigan. He's not the sort of prolific goal scorer that's going to be a long-term fix, is it? So if we're looking at Huddersfield, James, how do you expect us to set up with the bodies we've got back now? And what do you think we're good value to grind out another result?
I would like to think it'll go back to a four. I mean, if we're setting up with a five at the back at home against team second bottom, I mean, it's not really giving off particularly confident vibes. You know, having said that, we've done it in the past and we've won, and that's the main thing. I think it'll be an interesting one, a bit of an unknown quantity, really, with this new bloke come in from Hertha Berlin. He's only had, what, 3 or 4 days to work with his team, so they won't really particularly know what style they're going to play. So we're trying to sort of almost, you know, fight against ourselves in the mirror here. We're sort of, you know, sparring nothing, just lining up. We're at home, you know, we should just go out and say, look, you know, we're at home, beat us. You know, we'll set out the way we want to set out and we'll play how we want to play. And you're the ones that have got to change to beat us. But that's not really been the way under Paul Lintz too much. We've always sort of been the team that's willing, other than Blackburn, we've been the team willing to fit ourselves around the other team. It'd be quite nice for us to set out our stall and say, you know, come and beat us. It's our home. We've lost once at home all season. You know, you're the ones that need the points more than we do at this stage. You know, come and find a way of beating us. But I think it'll be a narrow game. Wouldn't surprise me if it was a draw, because obviously their players will be up for it and trying to impress this new bloke. So yeah, probably 1-1, 2-1 either way.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think there's always a bit of a wild card factor whenever a new manager takes his first game. And Mark Fotheringham is probably looking at this and thinking, okay, this is a chance to make a statement away from home. And if you pull into, you're thinking this is a golden opportunity against the team 23rd in the league to get back to winning ways at home. And obviously our home record has now been blemished by that Sunderland defeat. But, you know, if we can fully purge it from our system with another win here, then it will be like it never happened, fingers crossed. So you're right, there's a real question mark about how Huddersfield are likely to set up, and I'm looking forward to picking the brains of And He Takes That Chance podcast after you've been on, James, because who scored reckon he could stick, this is Mark Fotheringham, stick with a 4-2-3-1 system that Huddersfield have been playing up until this point this season. And they're also likely to have Sauber Thomas back in contention, who is a quality player. But, you know, the stats don't lie. Huddersfield have been terrible to start the season. And I don't know, I'd like to think it's another 3 points and we'll solidify our unlikely playoff run. But I can't see there being more than a goal in it. So I'm probably going to go for a 2-1 Reading win myself.
Yeah, but by it's the typical time Reading, that... Sorry, it's typical Reading sort of pessimism, isn't it? It's just, you know, if there's ever going to be a banana skin, it's against Reading. Oliver Langford's the referee and we never have a good
performance. Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so at least 3 Huddersfield penalties will be given and will be denied at least 7 Stonewallers, no doubt. Yeah. Everything seemingly seems sort of stacked against us in the way that it's a new manager. There's going to be a bounce as a referee where it's notoriously hard to budge, you know. Mm. So it's probably going to be a Paul Lintz 1-0 win, because that's seemingly how it's gone over the last few years.
That's Paul Lintz's bread and butter, an unattractive 1-0 win. Yes, please.
And it's going to be good because the stadium's going to be a lot fuller. So they're selling an extra 4,000 or 5,000 tickets.
That's
so
great.
You're looking nearer 17,000, 18,000, which when I was first going was the average, really. And now that's sort of that's going to be by far the biggest attendance. The way it's by far the biggest crowd of this season. And, you know, to be fair, I wouldn't go against it being the biggest crowd of the season unless we keep up this good form.
Yeah, I mean, it really does make a difference. I know it's an easy, like, classic cliche, you know, saying, oh, well, you know, the more bodies in the stadium and the more noise there is, then, you know, it can really make the difference. But, you know, for a team like Reading, where attendances have been on the slide for so long, and like you say, you know, back when we started supporting, you know, we were getting far healthier crowds, but, you know, an extra 4K will go a long way. So that'll be good. I was unaware just how many tickets were sold for this fixture, but that's nice. I'm looking forward to it even more now. Just before you go, James, we've got just enough time to get your valuable opinion about the new Reading FC third kit that's just been announced today by Macron. I've already ordered mine up with Andy Carroll number 2 on the back, obviously, which probably means he's going to do his ACL now and not feature again. But It's notable for several reasons, because like the away and the home kit, they're made 100% from fully recycled plastics, which, you know, backs up the whole climate change message that the club's got going on. But also, in my lifetime, we've never had a third kit ever. So What do you make of it? I mean, it's pretty hard to dislike, really. It's just a nice, nifty, sleek, stylish black number. But, you know, thoughts out
did
of 10.
Did we have one
you
even
reckon?
Before your time? I can't imagine an 80s or a 90s Reading. Surely wouldn't have had a third kit.
Well, so that's the thing. I reckon if we're asking the wrong people, aren't we? Because if we had an elder citizen like Paul on, he won't appreciate me saying that. No, I can
that's,
hear
that's
him.
You off. That's you off.
I know, that's me. Right. That's my P45 in the post now. Sorry, Paul. But no, if we had someone of Paul's generation on, not necessarily Paul, they would probably tell us that Reading third kits are in pretty short supply. But what do you reckon? What do you make of it? Do you like it? Or
especially ones that they wear, because obviously they had the Comic Relief one, but you know that wasn't worn in a game, and you can't really class Ryan's Royals as a third kit because that was just a one off. I like it. I kind of wish the sponsor was blacked out as well.
Me too.
Because at the minute, it does look a bit like it's just a giant advertising board for Select Car Leasing, given that that's the only thing not blacked off. But I think it looks smart. It looks, you know, a bit like cars. Sort of black cars always look so much sleeker than other coloured cars. And I just think it looks nice. I mean, I'm intrigued to see when we'll wear it. They said keep your eyes peeled, so they've obviously got something planned. But I don't see a world in which pink and blue aren't colours in which we can wear normally. So unless there's a special environmental day or some specific match that they've picked out for us to wear it. It's nicer than the last black kit we had, which was almost like honeycomb.
I remember, yeah. I had that kit with a John Daddy Bob Verson on the back.
Yeah, I had that kit. I didn't get when he was that, yeah, it looks nice. Don't really see the need for it, you know, but will that stop me buying it? Probably not. So, yeah, you know, it's nice to... Other clubs have always had third kits or, you know, have had more frequently than us. So it's quite nice that we've got one for a change.
Yeah, black third kits seem to be very much in vogue at the moment. Like a lot of clubs are going for the all-black kit. And I know ours isn't entirely all-black with the Select Car stuff on it, but I don't mind it as much. And I'll tell you what, it'll look even nicer when you mentioned when are we going to wear it for the first time. It'll look even nicer when we're wearing it on our open-top bus parade through Reading after winning the league with 107 points.
On a hybrid bus.
Yes, yeah, powered by methane. Yeah, that's it. You know, you got the memo. You got the environmentally friendly memo. James, thank you so much for joining us for the return of the Elm Park Rules preview podcast. We're previewing the Huddersfield.
Doing a lot of them.
Oh, they're coming thick and fast. Yeah. Me and Matt Lansley and I, we're splitting them between us this month. So you can expect wall-to-wall previews as far as the ear can hear. After this very short break, we are going to be previewing the Huddersfield game in even greater depth with Kosi from And He Takes That Chance podcast. That's a quality Huddersfield pod, which you should all subscribe to. But he'll be on in just a minute. James is going to go off now and get a well-deserved coffee or something harder. Thanks for listening so far. Stay tuned for another 15 minutes or so after the break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Welcome back after the break. If you've survived your break, I mean, not that you have been getting up to anything dangerous, I hope. You've reached that part of the show where I get on a member of the opposition contingent and pick their brains ahead of the weekend, see how we're going to get on against them. This week, it's Kosi from And He Takes That Chance podcast. The chance in question being taken, obviously, against the Royals. I imagine that line of commentary's from, is it, Kosi?
You got it, Jacob, mate. Yeah, like I was saying just off air there, I don't know for you, but it feels like about 20 years ago that it were only year five. Mad.
Yeah.
It feels like a long time ago.
I feel like I've prematurely aged about 20 years since that playoff final in 2017. Yeah. It was 2017, wasn't it? Because like you said, it feels like a long time ago. And obviously, Reading have been down in the doldrums of the Championship ever since. And We've been flirting with relegation for many of those. Obviously, Huddersfield had their time in the sun in the Premier League, and now you're back, I suppose, in a position that I think the majority of neutrals were surprised to see just as low as you are 10 games in 23rd position. You've changed your manager as well, and this is his first game this weekend against us. And I suppose the big question is, what's gone wrong for Huddersfield, Cody?
Yeah, well, to be fair, that the last season was just a kind of bolt from the blue, really, because the seasons before we've been struggling like you to stay in the division, and obviously started off this season reverting to that type. So that was just kind of a bizarre, unique season. But what's gone wrong? Well, I think it's weird. You can go either two ways. I think Brentford lost their playoff final and kind of regrouped and sold their the guy to Villa, the main man, and obviously got Ivan Toney and the rest of his history. They went back up and doing a good job again this season. But we did the opposite. We lost our best players. Well, two of our best players, Lewis O'Brien and Tardy Toffolo. As much pain as well, going to Nottingham Forest, obviously the team that, you know, beat us in that controversial final. And then, just as we were kind of recovering from that, our head coach walks out, and I think it was like 3 or 4 weeks before the season. So, pretty simple, mate. You lose your best two players, arguably best two players, and your head coach, and doing a mess. Having said that, Jacob, the should we do in the squad is... He's certainly not second bottom squad, but talks cheap, innit, as you know, football. And yeah, we need to pull his finger out. But obviously, we went promoting within. I think it was a bit of a shock to everyone in the club. Carlos Corberan walked out. The club narrative was that Danny Schofield, who was kind of a coach in the background at, you know, with Carlos as well, he was always going to be their long term successor, apparently. But obviously, railroaded in far quicker than anyone imagined, and yeah, 9 games later he's gone. And yeah, we won our last game, which feels like again a few weeks ago now, doesn't it, with the international break. We managed to scrape past Cardiff. Luckily his keeper saved a penalty, but yeah, and in comes Mark Fotheringham. So all of a sudden hopefully it's a more organised Huddersfield Town that you'll see, well, for our sake anyway, on Saturday down at your place.
There's no more satisfying feeling in football. We were saying this on our podcast the other day. When you get the win that results in the opposition manager getting sacked, and that's exactly what you did against Cardiff, because of course they've dispensed with their man in charge. And I suppose with all of your managerial turbulence this season, it's, you know, 10 games in and you're already on your third manager of the campaign. It's there's not a lot of it's difficult to build a grounding from which to compete, because like you say, get a decent squad on paper, the likes of Sorba Thomas, who's going to be back for the weekend,
yeah,
and parallels to be drawn as well with the likes of, I know you said after Toffolo went to Forest, and obviously they were the ones that did you in the playoffs last season,
yeah,
it reminds me a little of when we lost Danny Williams to you guys.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Final. Yeah. And I know obviously he had his injury problems. But it's really tough when you lose your best players, and you almost when Reading lost their spine, when they lost like Danny Williams, Ali Alhabsi, Jan Kermigan was there at the time after that. It's really tough. And all of a sudden, a very, very decent team can go to being like a very, very average team or worse. So just to touch then upon the new guy in charge, Mark Fotheringham, it's from looking at your Twitter, it's something that was being mooted for a little while. You're expecting him to take over, and it took a little time to get over the line. Are you pleased now that he is the man, and what sort of football are you expecting from him this weekend?
Yeah, so like just finishing on what we were saying before, Michael O'Neill lost his job when we beat that Stoke. Obviously, Steve Morrison lost his Cardiff, so if Paul Ince watches this, but we seem to be good. We seem to be good at sending managers to their job queue. But yeah, Mark Fotheringham, wow, where do you start? I always think social media is a bit of a dangerous gauge, I think, to kind of to gauge fan opinion and as well. But a lot of people wanted David Wagner back. David Wagner was at the home game, I'm trying to think which one it was, a couple of weeks before Danny Schofield went, and kind of the first time he's been back, obviously, and I think it was a bit of a bad move from the club, to be honest with you, because Schofield was struggling. All of a sudden, Wagner's back, the stadium's chanting his name. He came out onto the pitch. I think he was a bit embarrassed to do so, and obviously, then people are 2 and 2 is making 5 when Schofield is relieved of his duties after the kind of the Wigan game before a guy called Chico, Spanish guy, took over and kind of got us a win against Cardiff City. But yeah, Matt Fotheringham, wow. So I've got to be honest, let's be fair, anyone in football never saw that coming, least of all our fan base. The funny thing was he watched the game versus Cardiff, so it was there. So it's interesting that, you know, he watched the game there. So maybe you wonder if he was already kind of the plans was in place. Although, if you believe what you're reading, again, you don't know, but The Athletic went with a story that we talked to Slaven Bilic, but I think we're always pie in the sky with our budget and wages he wanted, and obviously he's moved on. But Fotheringham, wow, I don't know if you've kind of seen anything that he did a first interview yesterday with the club, and I'm blown away by it, to be honest with you. Very confident. I think he's going to wind a lot of opposition managers up. Very cocky, maybe, confident. Typical Scott, you know, really kind of indirect, coming out with things like, I'm not here to make friends with the players. You know, I want hard-working football. Obviously, a lot of the fans are spitting feathers, to be honest with you, saying it's kind of a cheap option, as they would do, really, because he's not a name. And I think it's a big gamble, Jacob. There's no doubt about it. 38 years old, never managed on his own, which a lot of people were beating Danny Schofield stick with. As I think it's a little bit different, the fact that Schofield was in the background, knew the players, and then he's the head man. This guy's coming, you know, on the back of, you know, being assistant at Hertha Berlin and Ingolstadt in Germany, and worked under Felix Magath, who has been, you know, a good manager, and had kind of dealings with you know, some of Bayern Munich's hierarchy as well. So he's got a good pedigree in Germany, well thought of. There was interesting a few kind of tweets from a few people in the football world. Charlie Adam was another guy, because he's had quite a nomadic football career as well. Midfielder, an old school, I can remember him at Norwich actually, and briefly at Celtic, but he's had a lot of clubs. But he was kind of saying this interview, look, it doesn't matter who I played for, whatever, it's about coaching, and he's done his apprenticeship and as well. So he said what kind of football we can expect. I've got to be honest, Jacob, that, you know, Danny Schofield reign, he came in and the narrative was, you know, a different brand of football, a kind of more exciting brand of football, because as amazing as last season was, it was hardly getting you off your seat football from Carlos Corbin. It's hard to kind of knock a guy who took us for an absolute, really, probably cheated out of at least kind of getting to extra time in the penalties with the bar, what have you. But incredible what he did with a team. When you look at it on paper, probably should have been nowhere near that, you know, third top six spot, and obviously, you know, playoff final. But so I think a lot of the fans are hoping for a bit more kind of better football. I think first and foremost, let's not beat around the bush. We want to stay in the division, and obviously it's not. And things can change quickly in football. I mean, again, you know, call it confident honest, but that, you know, Fotheringham was saying in the last few seasons to be involved in playoffs, and then he was talking, you know, kind of getting a run on playoffs. And obviously, it's nice to hear people upbeat. But of course, his critics already, you know, kind of he's not had any experience yet, talking a great game. What can he deliver on the pitch and that as well? And I think the club was a bit cheesy, really, but I kind of knew why they did it. They brought out a video yesterday showing the training, and he was there, and they showed, they played some audio stuff of him and that as well. I think it was almost like to create this, because a lot of people, like, I've always felt we kind of needed a bit of a hands-on manager, kind of as someone to give these guys a boot up the backside, really. Yeah. You were seen in games. You mentioned Sauber Thomas there. He got dragged off at half-time in the Schofield's last game. He kind of stormed off enough. Dwayne Holmes, another guy, bashed his fist on the dugout. I mean, I don't mind that, to be honest with you, in the fact that it showed people care. But others obviously are seen as a lack of respect for the manager. So I see quite a few players there that, you know, that couldn't, you know, need a bit of kick up the backside. I've obviously mentioned the two that we lost, you know, to Nottingham Forest, but as well, we have Levi Cowell, centre half, is now at Brighton. Superb England under 21 defender. He were absolutely stand out for us last season. He's kind of he has kind of been replaced by a young, you know, Man City Loney, who looks a bit raw, to be honest. We give away a penalty in the last game. So, and plus we lost, I forgot his name. Daniel Sinani, a guy to Norwich, who's kind of fit. He's playing in Dean Smith's first starting lineup as well. And I think we could have signed it for a million. But so we've lost one or two fringe players. So the squad's not as good, but really 23rd. So, well, that's the reality of the situation, Jacob. So, it's... his interviewers really kind of made people think, bloody hell, this guy, he talks a great game, but as we all know, it's he'll probably get to half time on Saturday, Jacob. And if we're two down, they'll be wanting him out. You know how football works.
Yeah, but, yeah.
I think it's going to be interesting. I sat and watched this interview last night, like 30 minutes, and kind of when it finished, I thought, wow, this guy, he's not here to mess about. So, but obviously, the players have got to buy in, and that's going to be the key, really. Isn't it?
Well, that's it. And that takes time. And in the meantime, it's this fascinating, like, double tussle between the manager getting the players playing the way that he wants, whilst also trying to scrap your way out of a relegation fight.
Yeah.
It's, you know, the two things often don't go hand in hand. But, you know, sometimes, like you say, all it takes sometimes is just a breath of fresh air. And Mark Fotheringham certainly sounds like that. I mean, not to draw parallels between Fotheringham and Paul Ince, because I know they're very, very different characters, not just in terms of like managers and but also just the way they communicate and whatnot. Yeah. But
I think just putting in there, one of the biggest problems I think Danny Schofield was and Carlos Cobran, with a very regimented kind of, everyone knew the system, everyone knew where to play the players.
Yeah.
I think Schofield, there was so much confusion we were getting, like, for example, Sauber Thomas playing the other side of the field, which is kind of alien and to him and that as well, on his wrong side. And, you know, we were changing from a, you know, back three to a back four, and, you know, players were playing out. They didn't look like a lot of clarity to me. It appeared that, you know, the players was confused as some of the supporters. And I suppose sometimes, like, defeats can kind of make you think a little bit differently. But the thing that Fotheringham said again on the interview yesterday was clarity. Their players will know what to do. They'll know where to play. And that, what I kind of refreshing to hear that, because I just think it's been a confusing picture at Huddersfield. And you saw that a little bit with the caretaker manager, Chico, kind of doing, he just kind of put round pegging round holes for the Cardiff game. And it wasn't spectacular. Like I said, they missed the penalty. You know, they maybe could have won if they'd scored. But and it's 3 or 4 days on the training ground. It was weird. He took the training session before they'd even been announced, because there was some issue with his, some solicitors or something like that, but it shows that.
Well, we've all had solicitors issues, haven't we? But yeah,
no comment, man.
It's funny because it's sometimes, you know, we can get bogged down by tactics, and I feel like under Veljko Paunovic, you know, Reading's manager before Ince got the job, that was certainly the case. And like you say, as soon as you're playing players out of position, and there's like tactical muddiness and stuff being unclear. If it's unclear to the fans, a lot of the time it's unclear to the players, and vice versa. And you know, if this Fotheringham chap comes in and just, you know, allows certain players to play with a bit more freedom and a bit more clarity, and just to be less sort of like tight up, I don't know, maybe that's just a move in the right direction. And
definitely, Jacob. And I think as well, our success last year were underpinned on the defence. Our defence, I don't think there were anyone else. There might have been another team, you know, not conceded any more than us. And set pieces, we were incredible. You know, Sauber Thomas corners and centre half, setting them in and stuff. That's gone now. It's tightness, it's strength. And obviously, Lewis O'Brien kind of did a job in kind of protecting the back four. It's been so exposed, back three, back four, whatever it's been. And that's been a big miss. When your strength was your defence, and everything was pretty much underpinned on that, then it's kind of gone. It's like, right, what are your qualities now? Because we weren't free scoring last season. It were hard work. We were winning by odd goals all the time, to be honest with you. But so obviously, Fotheringham's got to come up with a new kind of plan of attack, a new kind of way to go forward. But yeah, it'd be just nice to see us a bit approach games with a bit more positivity, really, as well. But ultimately, at the moment, it's just, again, we want to get to that World Cup break with kind of just moved up the table, really, and kind of a breather and stuff. But again, it's incredible, isn't it? We're playing at pretty much midweeks all the time, aren't we? Now we're right until that November. Mad.
We were saying in the first half of the pod with James from the Reading Chronicle, the fixture list from now until the World Cup is stacked. I mean, the league table is going to look completely different by the time that the World Cup rolls around. I mean, hopefully for you guys, and maybe, you know,
for
you us
as well.
Hopefully for us, it's more of the same, really, because I don't know how we're in the nosebleed territory of third. But this leads on to the question for the weekend. You know, it's Fotheringham's first game. There's always this unexpected factor whenever a manager takes his first game in charge. You don't know if there's like a honeymoon period or a new manager bounce or any of that. And, you know, you've talked about the personnel that you've lost since the last time that Reading played Huddersfield. And I remember watching Levi Colwill for you guys last season and being so impressed. And you know, he's going to be like an obvious miss. But do you reckon, you know, when you take into account the new manager bounce and the fact that you guys need points on the board, and hopefully the players are going to be eager to impress the new guy. Do you reckon you can squeak a result against us on Saturday? Like, what's your score prediction?
Yeah, again, it's one of those in the heart and a head job and that as well. And I suppose you've got to look at it that, I know it's a while ago, but we come on off the back of a win and a clean sheet, even though it wasn't brilliant against like Cardiff. So, and I think the beauty of this division, Jacob, and again, everyone was saying it last year when we were beating teams, and we would, honestly, we deserve to finish where we did, but Huddersfield, and you know, how are they there? And obviously you're there for a reason in third, because you're, you know, really good side. But again, you'll be mocked, and obviously we kind of manage that, you've got a bit, you know, they will be there at the end and stuff. But mate, the pressure's on teams like Ulls, Middlesbrough, that have started really bad and that as well. Honestly, just to get a performance where you kind of look at the team and think, you know, people are giving everything, people are organised, we're hard to kind of be. Just go back to a little bit of basics, to be honest. And maybe a bit of X factor like from Sauber Thomas. It'd be interesting to see whether he goes Rhodes. Danny Ward up front scored absolute screamer at your place last season, and whether, you know what, that's the beautiful thing. We don't know what he's going to, you know, turn us out in formation-wise as well. But I think it's one of those that if you're a new, if you're a player playing under a new manager, you want to impress on that as well. And I don't think that guy's going to suffer fools, Jacob. So, you know, I'm awful. But I think you always are in the championship, even if, I remember, you know, last season when we were playing teams in the bottom, you don't think we're automatically going to win. Just because that's the beauty of our division, and I love it, because you don't know what's going to happen. If Premier League, pretty much, if it's third v 23rd, it's, you got your own banker. But on Saturday, it might turn out that, but I'm awful.
I reckon it's going to be tight. I reckon there's going to be a goal in it.
Yeah.
And you'll be delighted to hear. I say this every week. I've not got a prediction right yet this season, and we're 10 games in now. But
oh, good.
So it'll probably give you great pleasure to know that I'm probably going to go for a 1-0, 2-1 Reading win. The previous results between us, like I think in our last six, Reading have won 2, Huddersfield have won 2, and we've drawn the other 2. So there's nothing between us. Same number of cards, 10 yellows each, 9 goals for Reading, 11 goals for Huddersfield. So it's going to be tight. It's going to be tight. And, and like you say, third against 23rd means nothing, because it can literally go anyway. Yeah. So all that's left to say then, Cosey, is thank you so much for coming on to be the Huddersfield game with us.
And just a quick one for you, Jacob. Thanks so much for what you guys do with the admission charges down there, because that, it needs to happen a lot more now, especially with the cost of living. It's ridiculous that, you know, there only seems to be you that's kind of took the, I think Preston might have copied you as well, but kind of we'll do that agreement, you do that. It's a joke. With QPR, I think you probably talked about £36 when that game gets rearranged in November. And you know what? It's a Wednesday night. No one's got any money at the moment. It's honestly, you led the way. So massive respect for you guys down there. Last someone in touch with reality for fans, you know.
Yeah, we've been saying the same thing in the Reading fan base. We're glad that it's our club that's kind of had to, you know, seize the bull by the horns and do something about it. Because on the subject of QPR, I mean, I don't really like to single out a particular club, but we're heading there very soon whilst the train strikes are on, and the prices that a club like QPR are charging is just criminal at a time.
You can't even see out of there, Jacob. There's like big
holes. I know. It's ridiculous. There's a massive pillar. And I always enjoy coming up to the John Smiths. I've always been impressed with your stewards in the away end in the past. So, and like I was saying to you off mic before we hit records, most of the bad blood after you did us in the playoff final, that's gone now. So best of luck for the season, Cosey, because I'd like to be, by the time that May rolls around, I hope you're still a championship club. So,
you never know. But let's dream big. 19 there.
All right. So,
thanks a lot, mate.
Cheers, Cosey. And to those of you listening at home, thank you so much for joining us for another edition of the Selm Park Rules Preview Podcast. We've got a ton of these coming this month because the fixture calendar is just insane. So, thanks for bearing with us. Thank you to Phantom Brewing Co. for sponsoring this pod. And take care. Up the ding. Come on, you Ars.